you for your house. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your blessing on each one today. Have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And listen, when you're thinking of Pastor Appreciation Month, don't just think of me. Think of Pastor Aaron and Pastor Ryan. In fact, you two stand up so they can all make sure they know who you are and tell them how much you appreciate them as well. Come on. This scripture, I've been reading it every week out of Ecclesiastes 4. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. My brothers and sisters, today we need one another more in the hour that we live now maybe than we ever realized. And I know I'm speaking to some people here today. You have been masters at building walls around your life to keep others out. And I want to today help deconstruct that wall so that you can let others in. Because the fruit of your life not only depends on what you're able to do, but what two or more of you can do together. Paul describes the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He takes the first several 13, 14 verses and talks about the spiritual gifts that the body of Christ has. But then he begins to talk about what the body is. And you and I, we are the body of Christ. We are God's hands, feet, mouth, eyes, ears on the earth. He has deposited his Holy Spirit inside of you so that you can live for him, you can serve him, and serve others on behalf of him. You are the body of Christ. And Paul says in verse 14 that the body is not made up of one part, but it's many. God never intended for one person to have all the gifts. He has put gifts individually in each and every one of us. Then he begins to just explain it in such a incredible way. He says in verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if an ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Verse 18, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be, each one of you. You're here today because God wanted you where you are. One translation says, he's made you who you are because that's how he desired you to be. Verse 19, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And I'm going to tell you, as a church, we're going to become better at this as the days go on. We're going to add more Bible studies. We're going to have more groups of people because there's gifts and talents in each and every one of you that God wants to use. And you may think, you may look at it and think, well, you know, that's no big deal. It is a big deal because the way you are is how God designed you. He goes on in verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are more important or more indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. Now, I could talk about that, but I'm going to keep on going. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division, or I think King James uses the word no schism. There's no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. That means that nobody can, there's no big shots in the body of Christ. That's all I can say. There's nobody that's got it all. There's nobody can walk in and say, look at me, look at who I am, look at how great I am. You peons, you are just here and I'm here. That doesn't go on. But Paul says, because every one of you is important. Every one of you, you are a part of the body of Christ. And when we do life together, we are better together. We need everyone. You need one another. He goes on in verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers. If one of you is hurting, everyone hurts. You say, well, yeah, but nobody knows what I'm going through. You want to know why nobody knows what you're going through? Because you haven't told anybody what you're going through. And when you do that, and I'm not saying to get up and just, you know, dump out everything, but you got to find one, two, three people that you can connect with and tell them what's going on in your life. Amen, Pastor. Thank you for telling me that. One part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, that we are going to get jealous because that person got what I wanted. No, we're happy for them. If you get blessed, I'm happy for you. You come wheel in the parking lot, you're driving a brand new ride, I'm happy for you. I want to drive it maybe. Especially if it's a, better not. He says, verse 27, now you're all the body of Christ, and each of you, you're a part of it. We need all of us, every one of you. And then he goes on and he describes some of the leadership capacities. Verse 28, God's placed first apostles, second prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, gifts of helping, of guidance, different kinds of tongues. And then he says, but not everybody's an apostle. Not everybody's a prophet, not everybody's a teacher, not everybody does miracles, not everybody has the gift of healing, not everybody speaks in tongue, not everybody interprets. But he goes on, he says, desire the gifts. Desire things that you don't have that you want. And he says, yet I'll show you a more excellent way. And Paul tells us the importance of not only how much we need each other, but that we are made for one another. There's people in here today that I believe in a month, in 6 months, that you didn't even know you were going to have the relationship and you were going to be involved in maybe your life or somebody else's life that makes all the difference in their life at that time. God wants you and I to realize that just because we're different doesn't mean that we don't need one another. We need each other. He's called us to function better when we work together, when we are on the same team going in the same direction. You know, I was thinking about this, and one of the greatest football coaches in history was Bear Bryant. Football season, I like watching football. I especially like watching my grandson play football. And when they ask him how he won so many games through the years, this is what he said. He didn't say, well, I'm this and I'm that. No, you know what he said? He said, I'm just an old plow hand from Arkansas. I love that. I'm just an old, that's what I am. I'm just an old farm boy from South Byron. But he said this. He said, I've learned how to hold a team together, how to lift some men up, how to calm some down, how to get them all together. He said, here's three things. He said, if anything goes bad, I did it. If anything goes semi-good, we did it. If anything goes real good, then you did it. Man, that's the key to a great leader, to an individual that walks through life not consuming everything to themselves, saying, hey, if it went great, it's because of you. And I want to tell you all this morning, the reason that the church is here today, it's not because of me, it's because of all of you. Amen. Come on today. So, how can we demonstrate it? Number one, by serving one another. 1 Peter 4:10, each one of you use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. You and I are not called to consume our gifts and talents and abilities to ourselves. We are called to take what God has given us and be a blessing to somebody else on a regular basis. The Bible says in Matthew 16, 25, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me, they'll find it. And the reality of our lives is that when you serve others, you discover life. You discover joy and peace. The second thing, we live the life, we are better together because we learn to encourage one another. I love this. I'm an encourager by nature because I have had people in my life set out to try to discourage me. So I'm attracted to encouraging people, and I'm attracted to encourage people. Hebrews 3:13 says, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Each one of you are called to be an encourager. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Listen to this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all encouragement, who encourages us in our affliction. Why? So that we may be able to encourage those who are in an affliction with the encouragement which we ourselves have been encouraged by God with. So that when you're encouraged, you can encourage someone else. When you get through a mess, God will help you to get somebody else through that mess. You can go the extra mile. You can go the distance. You can encourage somebody, and you can see them come out on the other side better than they ever thought they could. I love this story. I read this week. I'd never heard or seen this story before. A group of frogs were traveling through the forest when two of them fell into a deep pit. When the other frog saw how deep the pit was, they told the two frogs there was no hope for them and left them. However, the two frogs ignored their comrades and proceeded to try to jump out of the pit. However, despite their efforts, the group of frogs at the top of the pit were saying, give up, you're never going to make it out, die. Eventually, one of the frogs listened to what the others were saying, and he gave up, jumping to the depths of his death. The other frog continued to jump as hard as he could. Once again, the group of frogs yelled at him, stop the pain and die. He ignored them. He jumped harder, and he finally made it out. And when he got out, the other frog said to him, didn't you hear what we were telling you? The frog looked at him and said, well, I'm a little deaf, and I thought you were cheering me on the entire time. You heard about the farmer and the horse, didn't you? Where he had a hole, and his favorite horse fell in the hole. And the farmer tried to pull him out, and he couldn't get him out. So he thought he'd just go ahead, and he'd bury him right there in the hole, and he'd throw a shovel of dirt on his head. Somebody needs to hear this today. He threw a shovel of dirt on his head. You know what the horse did? He stood up on it. And the farmer threw another shovel in. He's going to bury him alive. And every time a shovel of dirt was thrown at him, he just stood up on it until soon or later there was so much dirt thrown on him that he just got up out of the hole and walked away. Somebody needs to hear that today. You got to be careful of the voices that you let speak into your life. You got to make sure you're hearing people that are cheering you on and telling you never to give up. You got to listen to people that say, you're greater than that. You're going to get through this. You're stronger than that. You don't have to stay in that mess. You can come up out of that and be everything God has called you to be. Come on, if you believe that, you ought to praise God like He's doing it in your life right now. We are better together when we learn to produce with one another. The word synergism is so important. It tells us that 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2. But synergism means it could equal 3. Two individuals may be able to lift 100 pounds individually. But together, two could lift 300 pounds together. That's synergism. That's synergy. They're better together. And Jesus said in John 15:4, He says, remain in me and I remain in you. No branch bears fruit alone. My brothers and my sisters, tear the wall down today. You can't do what you need to do alone. Deuteronomy 32:30 says, one man will chase 1,000, but get two together? Come on, we're going to chase 10,000. We need one another. We produce together. Number four, we're better together when we are protecting one another. This is so important. Jesus said in John 16:1, all this I have told you, what? All what? That you're better together, that you can't do it alone, that you need people in your life. Hear me when I'm telling you this. I feel like I'm fighting against just an enemy that's trying to tell you in one ear while you're listening to me in the other ear, saying, oh, what he's saying is not going to work for you. It will work for you. You need people. Jesus said, all this I have told you, that you will not go astray. We need God's help in other people to help protect us. And the word astray there is a Greek word that means scandalizo. It's where we get our English word scandal. And it snares in your path that you cannot see, but that others can see with you. That you need people in your life that says, whoa, dude, what's going on? What are you doing? You know, you hear people say, well, if you love me, you'll stand by me in my decisions. That is the stupidest statement in seven states. I'm going to stand by and let you drive your car off a cliff. Well, I love you. No way. I might not be able to stop you, but I'll send you books. I'll call you on the phone. I'll text you. I will traumatize you until you open up your eyes and allow God to help you see the scandal that the enemy is putting in your path. Because sometimes you and I, listen, sometimes I'm stupid. Thank you for no amens on that. But the reality of it is, you are too. And you need people in your life because you deceive yourself and you can be deceived. And we need the kinds of relationships in our lives that we will walk together and help one another. This video, this little clip, I was reminded of it. I want to show you this. This is the king of the jungle, the lion. Watch this. Go ahead, boys. Kill the lights and play that.
As they mature, young males begin to explore the boundaries of the pride's territory.
Make sure it's up. I want to hear those little hyenas.
Red has ventured out alone. And blundered straight into the middle of the hyena clan. He's trapped by over 20 of them. The pack tries to wear him down. This number of hyenas could kill him. It's impossible to fight them all at once. Thank you. them at bay for much longer. He's tiring fast. His ally, Tartu, has heard the commotion. Now the odds have changed. Even for 20 hyenas, a pair of male lions is too much to take on.
Two are better than one. You may think you're the king of the jungle, but you're not. It's better to have a partner than go it alone. To share the work, share the wealth. If one falls down, the other helps. But if there's no one to help, you're in trouble. I want those that are going to help with communion to come. As I end with this last. We're better together when we pray one for the other. Not just for ourselves. Not just asking for prayer for ourselves. But when we engage in praying for others. When you receive the cup and the bread, hold it, we'll all partake together. James 5. Everybody loves to quote the second part of the verse. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But they forget the first part of it. Confess your sins to each other and pray for one another so that you can be healed. Because the fervent prayer of a righteous individual avails much. It helps you out of the mess. Some of you need that today. Some of you need that working in your heart and your life today. You need somebody to pray for you. And you need to pray for someone near you. When you receive the cup and the bread, hold it. If you're here today and you don't feel like your life is right with God, make it right, right now. Ask Him to forgive you of sin. Ask Him to cleanse your heart. Ask Him to come in and live inside of you. If you've never given your life to Him, ask Him. Tell Him, I want you, Lord, to come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. He'll do that right now. Thank you, Jesus. When you receive the cup and the bread, hold it. Close your eyes just for a moment. Thank you, God. Maybe if you're near family or friend, you just lean over, whisper, begin to pray. Just say, God, have your way. And your husband, your wife, your children, grandchildren. Let me give you this little marriage moment right now. Husbands and wives, you become the closest when you pray together. Husbands and wives, you become the closest when you pray together. Husbands and wives, I know I can hear a man right now. Well, I'm not like that. Get like it. You become the closest when you pray together. Has everyone received that desires to receive the cup and the bread? If you were missed by chance, raise your hand. They will make sure that you're served. We praise your name, God. We praise your name, Lord. Take the bread. the body of Christ. He said, as often as you do this, you remember what I have done for you. We praise your name. Be exalted, God, in the heavens. We love you, Lord. He took the bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave thanks. He said, this is my body. This has been broken for you. As often as you eat this, remember what I have done for you. Let's partake of the bread, the body of the Lord Jesus. If you're sitting next to a loved one, just lay your hand on them. Just pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous individual availeth much. Pray for each other so we may be healed. In this moment when we remember the cup, the blood that was shed at Calvary's cross, the provision that he has made for each and every one of us, I thank you, Lord, for that today. I pray for my brothers and my sisters, peace, strength, victory for their battles. In the name of Jesus, bring families together closer. We give you honor and we give you praise today. Let's partake of the cup together. Thank you, Lord. Prayer, people, come down to the altar with me if you would. Spirit of the living God, thank you for your love and your grace in the house of the living God today. Resurrect some that feel dead today. Heal those that are sick and broken today. Bring hope to those who feel hopeless, I pray. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. You need prayer before you go. You give your life to Christ today. I want to give you a Bible and just pray with you. If you're going through something, you just need somebody to agree with you in prayer, come on down. Let one of these folks pray with you and for you. I love you. Go in God's grace today. God bless you so much.